Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle, Todd Sadowski, our friend from Fox 43, here with us. We're continuing to break down Penn State 79, Idaho 7. Yeah, there's more to break down. We've talked about it a good bit. We're going to hear from James Franklin in just a moment, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. This segment also brought to you by our good friend Mark at GoPSURV.com. Really good weekend for him and for everybody who got to enjoy the GoPSURV.com lot for the Idaho game. The lot was jumping, apparently. It should be again for Buffalo because night games are a perfect opportunity to do that. You get a lot of bang for your buck in that. Tailgate all day. You get a ride to the stadium. Tailgate a little bit more outside Beaver Stadium. You come back, tailgate to all hours in the morning. That's the beauty of the GoPSURV.com lot. Not a lot to think about, and you never have to stop tailgating. Check it out at GoPSURV.com. We're going to hear from James Franklin now just on some of the big themes that came out of a big win over Idaho. The offense was a theme. The defense is dominance. But one of the things that he started out talking about was the ability in a game like this, and there was a commitment from the jump from quarter number one to get in a lot of young players. Here's what he had to say about getting these guys in and the dividends it could pay later.
Yeah, it was really valuable. And there's always the discussion on the headset of when do you get guys out? I think we played shutout football defense, although the scoreboard doesn't necessarily show that. But I thought, we were able to get, like Lance Dixon and Brandon Smith, we were able to get a bunch of reps, which was great. Lisa Isaac, a bunch of reps. A lot of guys, those young backs, I can go on and on. Saleem Wormley, some guys even that we weren't planning on getting in there. So, that's going to pay dividends, not only this year, but over the next couple years. I think there's tremendous, positive. I don't know how many guys actually played in the game, but it was a bunch.
So before he got into the ability to play a lot of young players, he didn't mention Mac Hippenhammer, but he did say, this should have been a shutout, but it wasn't. Mac Hippenhammer, the muff punt ended up costing them. But I mean, again, I think Rasheed Walker is a good working example of what I mean. They're going to be, various degrees of competitiveness for these young guys to get into games. There's going to be various degrees of talent standing across the ball from you. But the ability to play in front of 100,000 fans when the games count now, they count for wins and losses. The stats count to kind of adjust. But with Walker, they don't feel like he's a redshirt freshman so much because he got some actual game reps last season. The same is going to end up being said for, I don't know what the plan is for Lance Dixon this year. I don't know exactly what the plan is for Brandon Smith. Adisa Isaac, probably a redshirt guy. I love the redshirt rule and what it can do for teams to get some of their young players some reps. They got a lot of them in this game.
Yeah. The biggest thing to me was just the fact that Penn State feels confident clearly about how it could rotate its offensive tackles and offensive guards. It clearly feels good about its receiver rotation because 13 guys caught passes. And honestly, all 13 of the – I mean, we're not talking about – nothing, this isn't meant to come off the way it's going to, but nothing against Nick Urie, but he's not going to see time against Ohio State, Michigan, in all likelihood. If he does, then things have gone tremendously south. But you look at the guys that caught passes, I mean, any of those guys, with maybe the exception of Brenton Strange, could come out and play in those games. And I'll be curious to see if he plays because he is a guy who's in that bubble, I would assume, of maybe redshirt and maybe you don't.
I think it changes the way practices go too in practice week. And of course, we talk about what happens on a Saturday, but so much of what happens with a football team is what goes on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday or on a Thursday. And if a guy like Lance Dixon or Adisa Isaac or these guys that aren't sure if they're going to redshirt or not, aren't sure if they're going to play or not, well, guess what? They're given every effort that they've got during the week in order to get some playing time in hopes that that comes around on a Saturday. It's the human element of what's going on. If you tell a kid you're going to redshirt and you're not going to play this year in the old rules, then maybe they're not going quite as hard on a Tuesday or a Wednesday than they're going to be going as it is now. And if you say to them, you might play four games this year and still redshirt. Okay, great. That still means I'm going to play in four games and get that experience. And so much of a football team, and we talk about, like I said, the games, but you guys understand how much practice time, how much workout time that goes into it. We're talking about practice, okay, Greg.
Just making sure.
No doubt about it.
Not a game. It's Allen Iverson.
Thank you.
Yeah. We saw where we were going with that one. So to me, that's...
What I was saying was Allen Iverson did the practice thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you get it?
Yeah. I'm with you. The audience is right there with you too, Dustin. And beyond. So, but that's my point on it. Is like these guys, you know, they create the culture of competition. You can do that. But if you know you're not competing for playing time, it changes that dynamic. And this allows them to continue to compete all season long because they know they might get in the game.
And guess what? I don't know if the redshirt rule was supposed to be foreshadowing for the way college football is going in terms of transfers. And, you know, younger players are playing a bigger role in college football than they have in a really long time, maybe ever. So the ability to get them, you know, get their feet wet without costing them an entire season of eligibility, I think is a big deal in this era of college football. Talk about, you mentioned Nick Urie. I don't think James Franklin mentions him by name, but he did get into the play of his running backs. Five of them scored touchdowns, seven touchdowns scored by running backs in all, including Nick Urie late. He had a little bit to say about the running backs, but I do think we're going to have to wait and see how he uses them against Buffalo.
Well, it seemed like they played really well, obviously, based on the statistics and just the flow of the game. The other thing I would say is, you know, I thought, you know, Sean was pretty comfortable in the pocket most of the night, and that was our line playing well, but that's also young backs. That usually is an area where young backs, you know, can miss a blitz pickup or whatever it may be. I thought they played well from that perspective. So had a few new wrinkles to get the running backs involved in the passing game. They did a good job with that too. So, you know, overall, again, I thought they were really good.
So that's a quote about running backs, and it starts about Sean Clifford being comfortable in the pocket. The point being, number one, the offensive line did its job as far as that goes. That's not a huge surprise. But with a young group of running backs, it was just he verified that these guys did the little things well. And not that there was ever any doubt, but you have a young group of running backs. It's a new look group that you're without Miles Sanders. You're without Saquon Barkley. You can't be sure, but Jaywon Sider coaches these guys very well. He's more than just a Florida recruiter. You know, he's an ace in a couple different ways.
Yeah.
And I think for this group to rotate so frequently and to all do their jobs and blitz pickup and stuff, I think that's an underlying very good sign for the future.
Yeah. The one thing, Todd, that jumps out to me about these running backs is that they all do something a little bit different. So Nick Kane looks like the guy who can be the charge ahead. We need a couple yards. Let's do it. I just want to point out too, as it relates to Idaho and their fullback usage, they went under center and they didn't get a first down, guys.
I saw your tweet.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out. That's all I really have to say about that. So, all you, Todd, what do you think?
Under
of that
center with a fullback is no guarantee, as it turns out.
But it's supposed to be, from what I've been told. So,
yeah.
He likes to just throw that in there whenever he can, right? Absolutely. What stuck out to me was 45 carries, 45 rushes. You know, Clifford had 65 yards. He's, you know, everybody's worried about his mobility in the running game. He added a lot to the running game this particular time. But no one got more than 9 carries. No one reached double-digit carries in that part of it. And Coach Franklin went to the protection very quickly when he was asked about the running backs. He didn't talk about running styles. He went very quickly to the protection for Clifford. So what does that tell you? It tells you the guys that are going to protect Clifford are going to be on the field. And so if they can all run the ball, he was basically saying they had better pick up the blitzes and they had better protect Sean Clifford or they won't be on the field to get the carries that they want. And we mentioned that competition. Look, that's a position they have had it's gone back now with Saquon, Miles Sanders. This has been a lot of talented guys. They're picking up a lot of big four-star players. And so they know that they're not going to get those guys unless they get the ball, right? So I think I don't think it's going to be something where they sit two of these guys for the entire year. I think they will rotate guys in. So the protections and getting them some PT, I think, is going to be reoccurring throughout the year.
Their strengths are different enough, and they can all hold their water when it comes to playing at this level in different ways. So if you're going to make a mistake like that, that's what's going to differentiate one way or another. It's hard to believe, seeing what Devin Ford was able to do, knowing what Noah Cain can do, having these guys not play at all in a game. And you're absolutely right. We talked about this from a recruiting standpoint. There's two more committed in the 2020 class. You're going to have to show and prove it that you can use these guys and use them well in games like this. Let's get one more in here, then we'll take a break. We'll have more from James Franklin. This is on Sean Clifford, his start to the game and how he settled in as it moved on.
Yeah, I thought the first two drives, you know, he missed some throws, you know, not because of a lack of arm strength, missed some throws, just, you know, was inaccurate, you know, his feet were probably a little antsy, but I thought after those first two drives, and he even admitted that to me, that he really settled down and got comfortable. So, you know, I thought he managed the game really well. You know, his stats, I wouldn't say, are overly gaudy, but played well, you know, played really well, protected the football, was really good from a decision-making process, was able to run the ball a little bit, and I think as the game went on, it was accurate. I think, you know, one of the things that I think stood out to me, I haven't studied all the stats or the film yet, but we got to get better on third down. We weren't as good on third down as we need to be, and, you know, we'll obviously that will be an emphasis, you know, to continue moving forward.
Todd, how meaningful do you think 1 out of 8 on third down is in a game like this? That's a core takeaway.
Extremely meaningful, and I'm glad he mentioned that. 1 of 8 on third down against Idaho. And I know Clifford was a little antsy, and he was a little, you know, I mean, that's to be expected when you go out there for your first start. The pass to Freiermuth across the middle, he missed another one across the middle on a slant. You know, he's going to have to find the receiver and the plays that work for him on third and short, but he's going to have to find it quickly, because those are the situations that can cost you possessions, field position, and ultimately games against better competition.
Yeah, the thing that's troublesome to me was that this is something they've talked about since the Citrus Bowl as being something they want to fix. It doesn't necessarily look fixed. Now, look, they didn't. 8 third downs is a good thing, because obviously they didn't need to get that to that point too often.
A lot of those were early, you know.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not too terribly concerned about it just yet. I agree with you, though, Todd, that, you know, when you look at what they needed to fix coming out of last season, that was one big area. And to be 1 of 8 is just not good enough. And Idaho being 1 of 15 was obviously very good for Brent Pry's defense. One point I will make, 2 of 3 on fourth down. So they did some fourth down stuff late in the game. That's maybe where people were talking about running up the score. You know, they could have kicked, they could have punted. But you know what? You can't waste a chance to get guys reps in that kind of situation. So I'm okay with doing what they did.
We'll see. New quarterback, new look offense. I think third down, I believe that's something that will come along. We'll see what happens against Buffalo. James Franklin has more to say, and we're gonna give that to you. Take a quick break and come back with his quotes.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.